Good morning. Hi, man, you guys are excited. Got that post-Christmas pump, huh? Ready for Jan-der-Feb, as it's affectionately called. That time of the year that no one knows quite what to do because it's cold and gross. Just kidding. I don't like winter. But, hey, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12. That's page 959 if you get a black Bible in front of you. If it's not page 959 in your Bible, that doesn't mean it's uninspired. But if you've never been here before or you don't have a Bible or anything like that, there are Bibles around in the seats around you. So you can grab one of those. It's going to be on page 959. Those Bibles, we say this almost every week, but I don't get tired of saying it. Those Bibles are an accountability. First of all, to you all, to make sure that everything we do here is in the Word of God, but also to me. I don't want to be a motivational speaker for you. I don't want to have some sort of prosperity gospel that just tells you things that aren't true, like, hey, if you pray hard enough, everything's going to get good in your life, and you'll have riches, and your job will work out, and you'll never get fired. We're not about that. We're about the truth of God's Word, because that's eternal. And so, that Bible is an accountability. You have that to know that. If you don't own a Bible, that's our gift to you. Take it. Take it, give it away. That's fine. We'll get more Bibles. I'm not concerned about that. These little cards are in the back of the seats. If this is your first time, or if you're just interested to give us information about yourself that you're not sure we have, you can fill those out and bring them to the connection corner back there so we can connect with you. There we go. All right. Let's get rolling. This is the last Sunday of 2018. Ooh. Claps. And people are like, ugh. Charlie's ready. It's done. Done, son. I thought that it'd be appropriate to do a snapshot of 2018, or at least things that me or the internet thought were the most important, just to kind of have a moment of reminiscing, right? Or reminisking, if you mispronounce it like me. So, let's see. The government shut down for several days. I don't know if you remember that. That was a 2018 thing. It's weird. There was a movement where the words Me Too became packed with bravery and the end of silence. It was a movement that continues to empower and help fight against slavery and injustice and those sorts of things. Nike had a 30th anniversary campaign that offended or inspired or something in between people in this room, I'm sure, if you remember that. There was a boys' soccer team that was stuck in a cave for 18 days, 2018. Fortnite, raise your hand if you know Fortnite. Raise your hand if you've never heard of Fortnite. That word doesn't mean anything to you. Okay, raise your hand if you don't know what flossing is. Okay, that's not a dental joke. Fortnite and flossing, if you're connected with youth at all, is not slowing down. It's a national phenomenon. In fact, ESPN, for the first time ever, put a professional gamer on the cover of their magazine. The gamer known as, anyone? Ninja. Who got that? Jerry Bowles got it first, and Kyle. Fantastic. Let's see. Tide Pods became popular for very stupid reasons in 2018. IHOP became IHOB for a little while. LeBron James went to the Lakers. Everyone grumble, Lakers. Let's see. Most importantly, this just in, Thanos destroyed half the galaxy. Anyone? Anyone? Sorry, this is for me. Raise your hand if you don't know who Thanos is. Okay. Your pastor's a geek, okay? So those things are important to me. Here's the bigger deal, right? Aquaman is popular. Yes. What? Who saw that coming? I'm offended. I can't handle it. Batman for life. More personally, more connect our church. You know, Pastor Mark and his family moved to Texas. That was a big change, right? Recently, we voted in a new membership covenant, right, which changed our constitution. That's a huge deal. In fact, in general, you can say Memorial, the way we started 2018 and the place we are now is very different. And actually, this is free. It's not in my notes, but I'm excited about this idea. We got together as a group of people when we had a time of tension and turmoil and financial angst, all these different things that happen in churches. We got together and we said, we're going to pray. We're going to pray about this and we're going to wrestle through this because we don't know the answer. And when you look at the way things are right now today, then you can see that God is good and God takes care of things, right? Yes, let's celebrate that, please. Come on. Thank you. That's an exciting thing. I'm excited about that. But as we end every year, this is a time of reflection, right? It's a time of contemplation. We look back on the things that happened. We look forward to resolutions, the future, things like that. This awkward time between Christmas and the new year is reflective time. That's what we end up doing. And of course, that's important because we want to look back at our past. We want to think about maybe the wins, the losses, the joys, the griefs, those that we lost, new life that came into the world, all these different things. But it's important that we reflect on that, and that's part of what we want to be doing today. In fact, psychologists, a lot of them, this is not new science, but I'll pretend it's new. Psychologists for a while have been projecting towards doing more talking about the future than the past, right? When we make jokes about psychologists, we talk about them saying, you know, tell me about your mom, tell me about your dad, like looking at the past. But actually, it's been a recent movement in psychology to say, let's focus on the future. Why? Because you can't change the past, right? I mean, it's done. And it's important to learn from it, to reflect on it. Of course, you want to look at that. But what changes is you deciding where you want to be and where you're going, right? And so that's what we're talking about today. What we're starting off with is who we are and where we're going. If you haven't been here in a while, if you're new here, or if you hear me say this every time, then here it comes again. At Memorial, we're all about the kingdom of God. Everything we do comes back to a king and a kingdom, and that's Jesus Christ. And if you don't know about that, more on that here in a little bit. But we start with this, Matthew 28. It says this. It's actually right up there on the wall if you want to read it. All authority, Jesus said this, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always, even until the end of time. All right? So we start with that at Memorial. That is who we are. That way, we never get lost in the weeds of structure or finances or squabbles or staffing or anything like that. That's fine. Those things might come up, but we always come back to the Word of God. Say, this is who we are. This is our vision. This is where we start. And from that, we derive this phrase right here. Real people transformed by the gospel, focused on pursuing life in Christ, experiencing and creating opportunities for redemptive change. We could spend a ton of time talking about all those words, and they are intentionally selected and discussed. But the most important thing is we're gospel-centered people. And what that means is that we believe above anything else that Christ is King, He is our head, and everything we do as a church comes back to Him. This is why we say as a church, we ask a lot of times, what does blank say about my King and His kingdom? I challenge you to do this. Anything in your life, anything in our church, hold this. What does this show that I watch say about my King and His kingdom? What does this way that I treat my kids or treat my spouse say about my King and His kingdom? What does my job say about my King and His kingdom? We hold everything accountable to Christ because that's where we start. So, if you want to know what the vision is for 2019 for Memorial, it's pretty simple. We're going to pursue Christ and His gospel in all parts of our lives as one body. As one. Of course, it has to be one because that's what the Bible says, right? We're all part of the body of Christ. We're all individually members of it, 1 Corinthians 12, but we're all one. We're essential to each other. One of the ways we're going to do this next year, actually for the big chunk of next year, we're going to be going through the book of Acts. The reason we're going to be doing that is to be asking what happened after Christ left. Christ says these words, right? He says He's leaving His Spirit, and then He ascends. And then I don't want to take away from that sermon, otherwise I won't have anything to say in a couple weeks. But when Jesus leaves, right, what do the Christians do? All of Acts is the story about the spread of Christianity. And, spoiler alert, it spreads like wildfire, and historians can't figure out why, because it was a silly, absurd idea. This man died and came back from the dead, and now everyone wants to follow him and change their life. Caesar can't stop it. Rome can't stop it. No one can stop it. It just keeps growing. We try to kill them, and they keep multiplying. It's ridiculous, right? And we're going to figure out why. Because if the gospel spread in first century like wildfire, and it's not spreading in Jeff City, we have to figure out what's the difference here. Is there something that we maybe need to connect or consider? Not that all of Acts is specifically prescriptive, but it certainly is descriptive in things we can learn from. So we're going to do that some next year. Today specifically, we're going to be talking about how we pursue that vision together and how each of us individually are a part of that. Here's kind of the spoiler for today. If you are in Christ, then you are gifted to serve Him and glorify Him. If you are in Christ, meaning you're a Christian, you believe in the gospel, you've been transformed by the gospel, you're pursuing Christ, you believe that He has all authority, you're in Christ, then you, meaning you, every single one of you, are gifted to serve and glorify God. We're going to say that together because I can't emphasize that enough. And I'm going to tell you what to say so you don't get confused. You're going to say, I am gifted to serve and glorify God. Good. This isn't a weird groupthink, wolf pack mentality. This is just to help us get thinking about where we're going. Again, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 12 and talking about spiritual gifts. I have to have a caveat before we talk about spiritual gifts because some people might be really excited here. We're going to talk about spiritual gifts. Therefore, all of a sudden, we're going to affirm tongues and we're going to start hovering around the room and baptizing cats and everyone gets excited. Oh, man, charisma's happening. Praise God. Baptists are going nuts, right? There's some people there that are excited about that. You say spiritual gifts and other people are like, this stuff hasn't happened since Jesus left. The apostles did some things, but the gifts are very pragmatic. You wash dishes, you sing songs, you pray. Those are the gifts, right? And there's both sides. We're not going to deal with either of that right now, right? We're going to deal much more simply than that. When we talk about gifts in the Bible, we're all quick to go to lists of gifts because we're Westerners. That's what we want, right? And you're like, what do you mean? What? Don't call me a Westerner. No, it's true. Sorry, you live in America. You live in the West, 21st century. Sorry, you're a Westerner. Don't be offended by that. It's just who you are, which means you live in a post-enlightened world. You're not into spiritualism as much. You're into facts, the scientific method. A plus B equals C. 2 plus 2 equals 4. You need those things. So we go to the Bible and we say, what are the lists of gifts? Of course, we have to know the gifts. Am I a hospitable person? Am I a prophetic person? Am I a tongue person? Whatever. We need to know our gifts. And I think those spiritual gift inventories are great. They're helpful. They're important. In fact, we've done those at our church. We've led great groups on spiritual gift inventories. But we need to keep in mind this. There is no one in the Bible, Jesus, Paul, Peter, James, anyone who lists gifts that is trying to give a conclusive list of all the gifts given to God's children in the Bible. It's not there. And the reason that is because how limiting and sad would that be? Like, is it possible to be gifted in programming? I mean, if the guy can be gifted to design the temple in specific ways that God's Spirit empowers him to do in the Old Testament, certainly someone could be gifted to design something and code something better than Facebook, right? And that wouldn't fit into our lists of gifts. Why? Because these lists here are important specifically for all the gifts in the Bible, right? We don't want to hold ourselves and say, this is it. All these lists are doing is trying to affirm that there are gifts. You are gifted, and these are for the kingdom. They're from God for the kingdom. You can find these lists, 1 Corinthians 1:5, chapter 12, 8 through 10, verses 28 through 30, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, 13, 8 through 9, Romans 12, 6 through 8, you see why this becomes a big deal. People start listing these. There's a ton of them everywhere. There's 25 total listed or so. That's not the best number, but there's a lot. Ephesians 4, 11. Peter hops in. He gives some in 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 11. Again, there's no specific connection to these lists. They're just lists to say there are gifts in the Bible, right? The point is you should be on the lookout for the fact that you're gifted. Here's an example that I wanted to try to give as many examples as we talk about gifts. We go through the Bible. Rich Froning. Who thought I would give a CrossFit analogy? Nikki knew. Raise your hand if you know who Rich Froning is. Raise your hand if you're sick of me asking you to raise your hand. Man, I wish more people knew who Rich Froning was. Where's Tom Fick's wife? She knows Rich Froning. Anyway, sorry. Rich Froning is 4-time fittest man on the earth. And all of a sudden you're like, well, why don't I know this guy? It's not Arnold? Schwarzenegger. Anyway. Okay. So, in CrossFit, which is the only sport my wife and I follow, I know I said something about the Lakers earlier. That was fake. I saw that in the news. I don't follow the Lakers. I don't know LeBron. But my wife and I follow CrossFit. Rich Froning has won 4 years in a row, right? Well, he did win 4 years in a row. He got out of it and started doing something else. But the first year that he did CrossFit, he lost. He came in and he was sweeping the entire games. And it got to the last event. If you don't know CrossFit, there's events, you do random stuff. And one of the things he had to do was climb a rope. And everyone thinks, this guy is incredible. He's sweeping everyone. Of course he's going to win. He climbs the rope, falls. Falls. It's frustrating to watch, man. You're watching this guy who's sweeping the competition and then he can't climb a stinking rope. Come on. Like, boom, I can't climb a rope, so what do I say? But he keeps falling and he has this really frustrating moment where he should have got first, he got second because he can't climb a rope. He ends up having this quote. He said, I kind of had put CrossFit on a pedestal, and it had become who I was, and I needed to remind myself that Christ is who I am, and not CrossFit. After that, the next year in 2012, we came to the games, and he had Galatians 6:14, tattooed across his side here. Not the whole verse, just the reference. Galatians 6:14, which says, may I never boast in anything except for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has been crucified to me and I to the world. And Rich goes on to say, this is before he won four times in a row, but he said, I do this to glorify God, to show people what Christ has done in my life, and I feel like this is my service. Again, is it possible that Rich Froning was gifted for CrossFit? Hey, come on, yeah. The dude wiped everyone away. These are people all over the world that come together, and Rich Froning won 4 years in a row, and he said every time, this is something God has gifted me for. That's what a spiritual gift looks like. Let's get into 1 Corinthians 12. Enough about Rich Froning and CrossFit. 1 Corinthians 12, 9:59. I'm going to start in verse 1. Paul writes this to the church in Corinth. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you have to read that word like that. When you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what Paul is wanting to get at, and we're not going through Corinthians right now, so I don't want to talk about this a ton, but if you know anything about Corinth, it was a rough place. It had two big shipyards in it, two big harbors, a lot of sailors that came to spend their money. There were temples to Roman gods, Greek gods, Egyptian gods. It was just a place full of immorality, awfulness. In fact, Corinth became slang for a place of sexual immorality. I don't know if this is exactly how language worked, but the idea would be, come Corinth with me, right? And the idea is like, let's party. It was just a really trashy place, right? Aphrodite, the temple was there, goddess of love. And so what Paul was experiencing, and a lot of Christians were experiencing in this church of Corinth, was you had all sorts of spiritualism, right? This is pre-enlightenment, right? Didn't need the scientific method. Everything was connected to spirituality. Everything was connected to a god or goddess. And so you had Jesus, but then you had a little bit of not Jesus mixed in. We can relate to that, can't we? But they would have these things where they would say, okay, I want to trust Jesus all my life, but I still pray to the God of broken foot and fertility God to provide that, right? They would be mixing and matching. And Paul's coming in and saying, no, you don't have both, right? It's one or the other. And the reason that makes sense to us is because, again, as a church, when we look at our vision, our scriptural vision, we're saying Jesus is Lord. And no one says Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit is in them and proclaiming that. So if you're a Christian today, we're not talking about perfection, right? Always progress, not perfection. But your whole life is trajecting towards a king and a kingdom. You may have things in your life that don't glorify God, that aren't pointing to God, but you're constantly trying to crucify those things metaphorically to Christ and say, I don't want none of this. I want you. You're my king. Whatever's going on, that's who you are, right? I don't have these other things on the side that I'm doing. I put you first. I'm not being perverted by the ways of this world. I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind, right? Romans 12. That's, again, why we ask these questions. What does this part of my life say about my king and his kingdom? Moving on, verse 4. Here's where we're going to camp. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So here's the truth. There are a variety of gifts, services, and activities. Variety of them. But it's the same God who brings all of them, right? Yeah. And here's the most important part about that scripture. I love this. There is a huge emphasis on Trinitarian theology just in those verses. Did you catch it? We're going to read it again. What's Trinitarian theology? Right. Trinitarian theology. Trinity. God in three parts in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Right? This is a big deal in the world of the Bible. It's a big deal in us because we believe God has these three parts. They're all one, but they're all separate. We don't understand that relationship. We can have all these weird analogies like apples and pies and all this, but we don't get it. It doesn't make sense to us because we're not God. But three in one, God, equally God, they're separate. But listen to this again. Listen to these verses with that. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, there's a variety of service, but the same Lord, Jesus Christ, right? And there are a variety of activities, but the same God who empowers them all, right? Here's the truth, right? Here's the most important part right at the end. He says, empowers them all in everyone. Who's everyone? Keith, Jerry, Conrad, David, Kevin. Everyone in this room is everyone, because that's what everyone means. Don't get confused, right? Everyone. So here's the fact, and I can't emphasize this enough. You'll hear me say this 100 more times. You are uniquely gifted by the power of God's Spirit, empowered by God the Father, because of the salvation you have received through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. You are gifted. And the reason that matters, some of you are sitting there like, of course I'm gifted. I hear this all the time. I'm gifted. The reason that matters is because we live in a world where all of a sudden Christianity becomes a spectator sport. It becomes something that we reduce. I'm skipping too far ahead here, but we want to understand that God has specifically, uniquely gifted you. In fact, sometimes we're guilty of this mentality that because you think that you don't know enough, or you haven't read the Bible enough, or you don't pray enough, or you still sometimes sin, or you yell at your husband too much, or you're not patient, or you're angsty, or you're musically not inclined, or whatever, then maybe you're not gifted. We prop up these specific stage gifts as the gifts that God wants, as if, hear how silly this sounds, God's only moving through worship leaders, youth ministers, children's ministers, and pastors. That's it. That's all we got. Sorry. Are you one of those? That's ridiculous, right? We wouldn't say that. And of course, you know that most of your life isn't this church at this time, at this hour. Your life is at work, with your kids, with your family, with your mother-in-law that you can't agree with. All these different parts of your life that you struggle with, that wasn't like a Freudian slip. I love my mother-in-law. We get along fine. Sorry. No, but most of your life is spent outside of the church, right? Unless you, of course, recognize that this is the church. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Everywhere is the body of Christ as we go out, right? But we reduce this idea, and this idea that I'm not good enough, I can't do enough, it paralyzes us, and it puts us in a place where you've reduced yourself to say, God wants me to sit here and observe, spectate what God's doing, and completely miss on participating in the movement of the kingdom of God. And if you want to ask my personal opinion, that's why the kingdom of Christ is becoming stale, becoming distasteful, becoming unmeaningful in our culture, because you have a bunch of people that claim that something's powerful and moving, and it's not doing anything, because we're all sitting and watching. If you want to know why your Christianity is boring, stale, meaningless, you're sitting there like, why am I here? It's because you've chose to reduce yourself to be a spectator of something that God has called you to and gifted you to participate in. You are gifted. Say, I am gifted. Man, that's such an important thought for us, because we're not just here to sit and watch. That's not what we're here for. Paul, the will of God has been done over and over and over all through the Bible, through schmucky people who make poor decisions, who continue to try to have faith in God, but they're not the greatest among us. Listen, the Bible isn't made up of a bunch of heroes who have done perfect things. This church isn't made up of a bunch of heroes. Thank God. Man, Scott, Carrie, Adam, myself, are we the heroes? I hope not, because you don't know me if you think that's true. Right? Jesus said that the greatest will be least and the least shall be greatest. The person who's greatest in glory in the kingdom of God is going to be this no-name man, woman who's been faithful, who's endured much, who's suffered much that we've never heard of, right? Because the kingdom of God is always moved through faithful men and women who trust God and are obedient to him, regardless of how powerful, popular, or what worldly stature they have. This is why Paul goes on to say in verse 7, he says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the common good. Each and every one of us is gifted by God for the good of the kingdom, to serve the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus didn't leave and say, I'm going to come back and make everything right. You guys just run around like chickens with your heads cut off till it all gets better. Jesus said, you go. You go and make disciples. That's everyone. Every one of you is gifted. I can't emphasize that enough, because again, the reason I can't emphasize that is by, gosh, noon when you're eating lunch, you're going to forget that God's gifted you in a specific purpose for God, that God has called you to be doing something in his body, in his kingdom. We're going to forget that. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday rolls around, you're going to forget. You're going to be back here on Sunday, and we're going to sit, and we're going to consume, and then we're going to go out and live our lives. That's not what God has called us to. God hasn't called everyone to stand up here and flap their arms and yell like me and give CrossFit analogies, but God has called all of us. He's gifted all of us. I want to give you a few examples of this to maybe help understand the connections of how this giftedness works. This weekend, I've been partaking in a particular task. A buddy of mine has come and visited my family, and it's been an excuse for him to come visit. We're building a table. He has gained the skill of being a table builder. His name's Luke Caddy. He's sitting right over there. And my buddy Luke comes into town, and I've known Luke since he was, 13, 12, really young, looked completely different, which makes me feel really old. But watching him now, he's like 26, and the skills he has, the gifts he has, the ability he has, one of them is building a table, and to weld, and to cut metal. I don't know how old you were the first time you cut metal with a saw that wasn't a wood saw or a drill, but I was 32 years old yesterday. That was the first time I cut metal. My son was 7. It was yesterday. Cohen was cranking this thing down. Apparently, a metal, blade spins slower, whatever. It's going down. Sparks are flying everywhere. Cohen's doing it. It was a huge manly event, right? And Luke, who is a master table builder of sorts, not to build him up, because I don't want you guys to look at these pictures on Facebook of this table and think otherwise, but Luke comes in, and he now has a gift to build tables. And instead of Luke saying, hey, I'm going to use this gift for myself to make money, to just build furniture for my family, he says, no, I'm going to come, and I'm going to help you build a table, and I'm not going to charge any labor, and we're going to spend time doing it. How is that a gift, David? How is that a gift from God? Well, first of all, I remember when Luke, couldn't count to 10. Not really. He wasn't that dumb when he was 13, but I just remember when he didn't have that ability to build a table, right? I've seen Luke. In fact, we were joking yesterday building of a time that him, my dad and him were building an Adirondack chair, and he was just jacking the whole thing up. He was terrible at it. And then now, he's teaching me about arc welding, which doesn't involve fire. I thought that it was like fire that comes in. It's electricity. I don't know anything about welding. I'm really dumb. Don't tell people. So we're doing this. Here's how this connects to the kingdom. Here's why this is beautiful. God has given him this gift. We're going to have this table. I told you this a couple weeks ago. One of the things my family does to connect with people, to build relationships, is tabling. We invite people over. Maybe you haven't been to our house, but you've certainly, if you've talked to me very long, have been invited. I say the phrase, hey, you should come over for dinner sometime. It's like this small gateway drug into how you can have a relationship with my family. Hey, come eat dinner with us. You eat dinner. We eat dinner. You should do it at our table. All of a sudden now, my family is going to have a sturdy walnut table that's going to outlive my children that was built by Luke Caddy. And it was built with the understanding of his giftedness, that he's using that gift for Christ, understanding that we sign our names to it. We'll probably pray over it today. Understanding that God's going to use this table to build relationships. That seems this big, right? I mean, we think about like pastors and worship leaders. That idea seems this small, but 100,000s of things this small change the world, right? Yeah. And so I want us to understand that you are gifted. Luke is gifted. He's building this table. There are a lot of people in this church that are gifted. In fact, there are people who give a ton of time and money and resources to this church every week, right? There are some people who are blessed with wealth, and they realize that, you know what? The money I receive, everything I have is not mine anyway. It belongs to Jesus Christ, so I'm going to give it back to the church because thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Everything I have belongs to Christ. And so they give their money. There are people who give their time. They constantly spend their time and energy here. They're giving their resources. People who understand what it means to turn the knob on the baptistry to make it make noise. They know what that means, and they help do those things so we can do things like baptisms, right? These things are meaningful. We have people right now that are watching your kids or people you know's kids. They're sacrificing their time in here to watch kids. And I don't know if you've ever watched kids and tried to teach them the Bible, but it's exhausting. Amen? That's not my gift, right? My goodness, I would take 100 times up here compared to 5 minutes teaching kids the Bible. Man, oh, you're dad. Maybe I am, but it's tough. Teaching kids the Bible is exhausting, right? It's really tough, and they're sacrificing their time and energy to be down there. You know what? They need help, and you're gifted, and some of us are gifted, and we're not doing anything about it, and this isn't a plea, a motivational call to say, get up out of your seats and do something, schmucks. I always get that New York accent when I'm pumped. This isn't a call to make you feel guilty. The call is to say, God has gifted you. If you want to see our church grow, if you want to follow what God has called you to do in your life, if you want to see anything abundant in your life, it starts with with you being who God's called you to be. Each of us individually saying, hey, I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm gifted, and I might not be perfect at it, but I'm going to start serving. Maybe you serve in ways that you're terrible at. Maybe you're terrible at washing dishes. And the gifted washer of dishes says, hey, maybe you should go take out the trash. Or, you know, but again, we work as one body. The vision for Memorial in 2019 is that we pursue the gospel as one body. And the only way that happens is with each of us individually serving as God has gifted us to do as one. No heroes. We're not waiting for perfect men and women to come up, not to hire the right perfect people. All of us serve together as one body, one faith, one baptism. As you look forward to 2019, as you spend time reflecting, I want you to be asking, how has God gifted me? Because I'm not saying, I'm not the motivational speaker up here saying, you're unique, you're special, you're the most delicate flower in the bunch. No, no, no. The Bible's telling you you're gifted. If you believe in Jesus, you're gifted. Sorry, that's the way it is. Why are you gifted? For the kingdom of God. There's things for you to do, right? And that's exciting because you get to be a part of a mission that's changing the whole world for the better. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And so I want you to be asking yourself, how am I gifted? Why am I here? Why has God put me here specifically? Maybe you're a visitor today and you're hearing this like, man, nothing's by accident. God brought you here for a reason. He's orchestrated that you hear this, that God wants you to know you are gifted for a reason. You have a reason to be here. We're going to move into a time of prayer. And I don't know if this has ever been done at Memorial, and so maybe this will be a giant mistake, but we're going to try it out. We can't go wrong praying. Here's what's going to happen here in a minute. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, then I'm going to guide you through it, okay? We're going to have the lights slightly dim to avoid some distraction. We're going to play some music in the background, and I'm going to throw out just five topics that we're going to pray about. Here's what I'd like you to do. Find people next to you, in front of you. You don't have to move too much. You can turn your neck. You can have them come to you, but we want to pray about 2019 because we believe that God cares about 2019. We believe that he cares about your life, your losses, your gains, the guilt that you're going through, the grief that you're going through, the joys, and we want to function as one body. And instead of just talking about it right now and saying, go on, go do it somewhere else, we're going to practice it right now together by praying for each other, by standing before the Lord and saying, God, we give you these things. And so, here in a moment, as the music plays, we're going to take 5 to 8 minutes here. Turn to someone next to you in your pods, your little collections of chairs, and pray with them. Here are the things we're praying about. Pray for each other individually. Maybe you need to follow James 5:16 and confess your sins to one another and pray for another so you'll be healed. Maybe you need to just admit like, hey, I don't really believe in 2019. It's going to be terrible. My life's terrible right now. Why would next year be better? Maybe you need to just say, hey, in general, I want to pray for 2019 because I have no idea what's going to happen. I don't have a job or whatever, you know? Pray for each other individually. We also want to be praying for the three people we mentioned last week. 2 weeks ago, I had everyone write down three people that they know that doesn't know Jesus. So we're going to pray for them. Pray for them every day and you'll be amazed at how God orchestrates opportunity for you to talk to them. Pray for those three people during this time. We want to pray for our church. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the individuals here that we would catch this idea that we're gifted, that thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As one body, we're working together, we're following Christ. Pray for our church and then pray for your neighbors, right? We want to pray for the people that are neighbors of our church, but also your personal neighbors. Maybe you don't know your neighbor's name. Maybe you haven't talked to them in, 6 months, right? Pray for your neighbors. You see them more, you should see them more, and then pray for our world. Let this be a time of prayer. Let this be a time that the Spirit moves in us. Maybe we don't have time for all those things, but whatever moves in your heart, turn to someone next to you right now. Tell them something you want to pray about, and let this be 5 to 8 minutes of prayer. One more thought. If you're new, if this is something you've never done before, this seems like the most uncomfortable thing in the world. I understand that. And some of you introverts are terrified. You're wanting to go to the bathroom right now. I get that, okay? I understand. My wife's an introvert. She is not about this. But here's what we also understand, right? Jesus is Lord, and he's gifted all of us, and we are one body and one faith and one baptism. We are one. And so we're going to pray together right now. At the very least, we want to pray for each other. The simple prayer of God, we want to trust you and we want to follow you together for 2019. That's all we're asking. And of course, if you're new here, you want someone to pray for you. Why not? If there is a God, if he's above all things, why not consult him? Because he knows what's best anyway. I'm going to pray. Music's going to play. You guys have 5 to 8 minutes to pray amongst yourselves in your pods, right? And then as that time kind of closes, Scott's going to come and we're going to worship together and close out. God, thank you for this day. I pray that your spirit would move during this time of prayer and that we would believe that you're here. You say when two or more are gathered that you're here, and we want to believe that you're here, Jesus, and that you have gifted us, that we would believe that you love us, that you've gifted us in the power of your spirit, and that we are to serve. I pray that you'd be calling up men and women, not as powerful heroes, but as those of us who want to obediently follow you, even though we struggle, we need grace, that we would serve in the ways you're calling us to serve, and show us how to encourage and raise up each other to be doing that. Guide this time of prayer as we pray for each other. We want to put you as King. We trust you, Lord. Thank you for your love, and thank you for all you're doing in our church, in our city, in our world. Amen. Take time to pray with each other.